I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 24th of June. We came across some statistics that looked at how often we read, and they're from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it prompted this show. Let me read a few of these to you. Daily minutes spent reading, weekends and holidays, assuming this is when people have free time to do some reading. If you're 15 to 19, you spend 4.2 minutes a day. 20 to 24, 10.2 minutes. 24 to 30, 25 to 34, 7.8 minutes. 35 to 44, 11.4. 45 to 54, 15 minutes. 55 to 64, 26.4. 65 to 74, 43.8. And those over 75 win all of this with 61.8 minutes. On weekends or on holidays. Common Sense Media did a report, Children, Teens, and Reading, and they offer a perspective on children's reading habits in this country and how they may have changed because we've had this big technological revolution of recent decades. So this report brings together lots of study on children's reading rates and achievement, and they summarize key findings and highlight where the research is scarce or incomplete or outdated, as well as offer suggestions for new areas of study. And they are showing that reading rates have dropped precipitously among adolescents in this country. There is a huge gender gap. There is a significant gap between minority students and Caucasian students, and there's a huge role that technology is playing in children's lives and how it's changing the nature of what children read and our definition of what is considered reading. So we thought it's time to do a show on reading. And so we will this hour. Krista Szymanek is our guest, Director of Communications and Education for Common Sense Media, a San Francisco-based nonprofit. They're working on child and family issues and examining how media and technology affect young users. Welcoming your phone calls. How many minutes a day do you read? What about your children? How do you foster reading? Or are we putting too much emphasis on reading books and it doesn't make any difference if you're texting or reading texts or reading Facebook messages, at least you're reading. Is it the same thing? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and Twitter at K Dunn Show. Hi, Krista. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, great to have you here. Well, let's start with adolescents, because when you look at adolescents, you say that the achievement among older teens has stagnated and many children don't read well or often. Reading rates have dropped precipitously among adolescents. How far have they dropped and why have they dropped?
So what we're noticing really is that if you look at teens who read for pleasure, what we're seeing is that, 33% of 13-year-olds and 45% of 17-year-olds say they read for pleasure no more than 1 to 2 times a year.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I know. You know, as somebody who remembers summers just spent reading all those books that you didn't have time to during the school year, it's sort of a sad thing, isn't it?
It is.
So reading for fun really drops off dramatically as children get older. And rates among all kids, especially teens, has, as you say, fallen precipitously. So because our study looked at sort of all of the existing research that's been done out there, we take sort of these broad measurements. And what we're noticing is that, you know, some of the studies went as high as 53%, a drop of from 9-year-olds to 17-year-olds, a 53% drop between in reading rates between 9 and 17. So, you know, we have to sit back and we have to ask the questions as to why that might be happening.
Mm. And when you talk about reading, is this including, because I'm sure that a number of those young people are looking at text messages all day long. Does it include that kind of reading? Or are we talking about the reading of books or what?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because we were relying on the research that is already existing and been done by other very reputable organizations. I mean, they really were. The challenge was in sort of putting all those numbers together to come up with some broad trends. You know, some of the studies did look at books and magazines and online reading when kids come on websites, but others did not. And some looked at e-readers. And so the challenge was sort of what constitutes reading across those studies. So there, it would really serve us well to have some research that really defines some of those variables so that we can get a very accurate picture as to what does constitute reading for children in this digital age.
You also mentioned the significant, and it certainly is a persistent gap between minority children and Caucasian children in this country, and it is a significant gap, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the reading, that's a persistent reading achievement, a gap. Only 18% of Black and 20% of Hispanic fourth graders are rated as proficient in reading as compared with 46% of white children. So, you know, in this day and age, that number, you know, we've really got, we have to tackle that one. That shouldn't be that high this far into the journey.
Only 18%, and that's proficient.
Yeah, you know, and so what, again, these research studies need to consider is, you know, reading frequency has long been correlated with parent education and parent income, but also, you know, access to reading materials, time available for reading. You know, there's other things that are in opportunities to read. So we have to sort of look at some, you know, we have to be able to sit back and be able to make accurate comparisons. So again, more research is needed there too, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm. Girls read more than boys, and it serves them well.
Mm-hmm. You know, we sort of say that the gender gap in reading time and achievement, girls read for pleasure about 10 minutes more per day than boys, and that's consistent over time. So,
you know, one thing that's really troublesome about this, many things are troublesome, but you think about all the books that you read when you were a child and into your adolescence and how it forms a body of knowledge that is important to what you do in your life, the conversations that you have, how the world appears to you, what other great writers have written about history and the characters that they formed and how those characters help you examine your own lives. We're losing all of that if nobody's reading.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people say that reading and intelligence have a relationship so close as to be symbiotic. And so, you know, you see these numbers, and yeah, it can make you a little bit nervous. And so, you know, as parents and educators, it really is our job to make reading a priority for our kids so that we can instill that love for reading in them during the earliest years. Early childhood is the time when those good habits form and can last a lifetime.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I'm a mom of a 15-year-old girl and a 12-year-old boy, and I already noticed the difference, the 3 years difference between my two children and their relationship with books. And I say, right, same parents, same parenting style and, you know, same household. My son's relationship with books is entirely different than my daughter's, and I think, well, how could that be? And I think, you know, right away that he has had more access to more distractions than my daughter did in her early years. And that's me speculating, but, you know, the organization that I work for, we do focus on, you know, the challenges and opportunities of raising kids in the digital world. And I take that to heart, as I say, as a parent of teens who are sick in it.
Right. Well, and I wonder if very many studies or if this is an area where we need more studies have been done on the effect of all of that technology, because it is so pervasive and it is so time consuming for young people. It is for older people as well, that you're on your phone all the time and you're looking at messages and Facebook and you're playing games. It's really hard to take on the technology and the thrill of the technology to sit down and immerse yourself in a book.
Yeah, you know, it's the technological revolution has really changed the nature of not only reading but childhood. And, you know, for our kids, you know, the Twitter generation, they're used to communicating in 140 characters. You know, who is to say that that's not reading? Maybe there are researchers who would argue that that is communication. It's a language unto itself. So we have to decide, you know, is that reading? And then there's also, you know, large frontiers on the youth reading landscape that we don't really know much about. You know, how the access that kids have to reading on these electronic devices. So, you know, there are kids, 20% to 33% of kids under the age of 8 have Kindles and Nooks and these dedicated e-readers in their homes, and way more than that have access to smartphones and tablets. But so, are they reading on there, or are they distracted by other things? It sometimes raises more questions than answers.
We used to hear in the not too distant future, Krista, that if your children see you reading, you're the one who sets the example, then they will become readers. I wonder if that's true these days.
So there does seem to be trends in the research that do indicate that kids who have parents who read and kids who have parents who acquire books for them and set a time in the schedule for reading, those kids tend to read the most. Those numbers are 57% of parents who set aside time each day for their kids to read, compared to 16% of parents of kids who are infrequent readers. I mean, basically, if you model the behavior, the chances are your kids will follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
Do as I say, not as I do isn't really a good parenting.
Right. What about some of these other age groups? This was, I'm sure you looked at this study by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. If you're over 75, you're one of the top readers on weekends and holidays. But the rest of the groups, 65 to 74 is okay. But the rest of the groups, including 45 to 54, that's only 15 minutes on weekend or holiday. That's nothing. There seems to be, you know, 55 and above, you're doing a little more reading. If you're under the age of 45 or 54, you're just really not reading very much. It encompasses more than adolescents and young people.
Yeah, you know, this voluntary reading for pleasure, you know, is it an important measure that we need to pay attention to as it relates to reading and proficiency? So when I you know, encourage my own children to read. And what I notice is, again, that opportunity and the time in the day to read. It just, you know, we're busy folks. And there are so many distractions, again, electronic and otherwise. We talk about multitasking and reading. I notice even within my own children, when they sit down to read, they will allow themselves to be interrupted by
yes.
text.
Yes.
Or an email, uh-huh. And you know, or they'll have the TV on, they'll have the radio on, they'll have this instant messaging available at their fingertips. Setting aside that time for quiet, introspective reading is so important. And I say that really, you know, as a mother more than anything else. Why aren't my kids reading? I guess the temptation to do other easier, fun things is strong. But we have to make sure that we encourage them to set aside that time and sit down and read with them. Gosh, if that's what it takes.
Right. Well, and when it comes to the leisure time activity on weekends and holidays, I think you say in your report the big winner is television, 3 hours a day, average American. That's a lot of time. You could read a lot of books if you were reading instead of watching TV all those hours.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, TV still dominates. Yeah, we do a lot of research looking at the impact of screen time on kids' lives, and that covers everything from smartphones and tablets and e-readers and to TV. And yeah, the TV still dominates predominantly. The kids really—that's a huge chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
Of the nearly 2 hours of screen time a day that kids spend, 2 hours a day. 50% of it is spent in front of the TV.
And when you talk about young people being interrupted by text messages or emails or whatever, what does that do to our ability to achieve intelligence, to learn things? Is it a huge distraction from reading?
You know, the founder and CEO of Common Sense Media, Jim Steyer, he is also a professor at Stanford, and he talks anecdotally about how his students, their writing has been impacted, in his opinion. When he has his students come into his class, he says, put the computers away. We're going to do this old school. I need your full attention so that we can really, you know, over this next hour, have a really focused dialogue. And he really does feel that it's impacting concentration. Now, there are other research and other studies that have looked at that specifically. This study did not. So I feel like I can't really be definitive about that. But again, you think about, you know, children's ability to communicate when they're used to writing in, as we say, 140 characters and creating short form, you know, abbreviations of words to work within that constraint. And yeah, that could have an impact on their abilities to communicate and express themselves. The other thing I say to my kids too is that, you know, the things that you, the secondary things you get from reading that you're not really aware of. You know, that ability to sort of lose yourself in somebody else's story and learn from their experiences. You know, that it makes you more human in a way to discover a character who has had a problem that maybe you can relate to and things you can learn from it. So I try to just encourage them to not think about this is the words and mom's making me sit here for half an hour with the clock on. Lose yourself in it. Forget about anything else. That's what I worry about. Kids are losing.
We welcome phone calls. Krista Simanek is our guest, Director of Communications and Education for Common Sense Media, and we're talking about their report, Children, Teens, and Reading. And it's not a very good picture, particularly if you think that reading is the basis of a lot of knowledge and understanding of the world and of ourselves, of human nature and animal nature and all kinds of other things. We're talking about children, but Bureau of Labor Statistics has also done recent reports that show that adults aren't doing very much reading either. So here are the questions. What's happening? What has the technological revolution done to our reading rates? Do you worry about all the interruptions and the natural tendency to want to know what's going on with your friends? So you're texting and you're doing that all the time instead of sitting down with a good book. What do we learn from that? How important is that to sit down with a book and understand the world and understand yourself? And what do you make of these numbers that we've told you about that shows that young people particularly simply are not reading much at all? Is that okay with you? Or are you concerned? What do we do about that? Here's how you reach our conversation. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter @KDunnShow. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Reading this hour, phone lines are jammed, so give yourself a minute and they will open up. We start with Lynn in Eau Claire. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I am a voracious reader, and so are my four children and my grandchildren. My husband can read a cereal box. I mean, that's how his attention span works. I have a little library. Mine is number 67. A friend of mine just put hers up. It's number 12,000 and something. It's just, it's how, you have to make choices. We chose to not have cable in our house, so there's no choice. As far as watching TV goes, there's reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing some work at the community table, and you feed people, and I also bring books because it's feeding your spirit and feeding your soul. And a young man was boasting about how he's not going to read. Well, you know, I'm probably at 59 and in this economy not going to make it a trip around the world. But I've been so many places because I read.
And it's interesting that all your children are readers as well. And is that because you were a voracious reader, would you say, Lynn, or are?
I think so. And my oldest boy, he's 40. He has an MSW. He's a policeman in Racine. I got called out on the carpet by his third grade teacher that he was reading above his level, and he was reading what he understood.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never stopped my children from reading. If they have a question, they come to me.
She makes such an interesting point, Krista, that you may not be able to travel all over the world, but if you're reading, you're taken to so many places. You are taking all over the world, isn't it? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Really evocative and so true. I mean, you can really get a window into somebody else's life by just sitting down and focusing on it and reading all of the details. I agree. That's beautiful.
What do you think about her point that they don't have cable? I know people who don't have television, and I would imagine there's a whole lot more reading going on in those households.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, as we say, you know, that kids are spending about 2 hours of screen time a day. And, you know, some of that may be reading on mobile devices. Some of that may be reading on e-readers. But the proportion of it is that passive intake of media. And we know that kids are, they learn from the media that they consume. So, I know, you got to wonder about the impact over time. Absolutely.
Thank you, Lynn, so much for your call. Bill in Madison, hi.
Well, I'm in my 70s. My wife is in her late 60s. We probably read anywhere from 3 to 5 hours at least a day.
Woo!
And have been doing that for as long as we can remember, whether it was work-related or enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just books have been an important part of our lives for our whole lives. As I say, I remember the early books my grandfather read to me when I was 3 and 4 years old. We helped raise a young man and had a lot of contact with a lot of kids, even though we didn't have any of our own. We always made sure there were lots of books in the car when we took them places.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of our reputation. You know, they stayed with us. They read. They got presents, maybe a game or something, but always a book. And what's scary is, well, our godson, who had lived with us for a number of years, and kindergarten, first grades or so, he was reading 2 years ahead of his norm. He's now going into fifth grade, and he's barely ahead of his level.
What happened?
Well, he doesn't live with us anymore.
Hmm.
More influenced by his older brothers, who don't like to read at all. But this I'm seeing with a lot of the other kids that we had read. Several of them are still good readers, but a lot of them, especially as they hit 10, 11 years old, they just seem to lose interest.
And the studies show that that's happening. Can you pinpoint why that's the case? What happens when you're 10?
Are you asking me, Kathleen?
I am, Krista, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, this is where more research is needed. You know, we really, we notice that there is the dramatic drop in kids who say they read for pleasure, right? So only 33% of 13-year-olds and 45% of 17-year-olds say they read for pleasure 1 to 2 times a year. But when kids are 9, 53% of them read for fun every day. So something is happening,
it sure is.
And it would be great to do more research. And again, research that can really target, you know, how are we defining reading? Is it a reading for pleasure, that voluntary reading for pleasure? Is it important on its own, or do we include the reading that kids do for school? Because absolutely they're reading in school. So should we include the time that they're doing that? Their access to reading materials and the time available for reading and those variables that measure the opportunity to read, those are important to understand. And then again, the what and the how kids are reading, you know, the different types of reading across platforms. And do we include fiction and nonfiction? Does it count to read a newspaper? Are we only looking at, you know, novels? So, you know, definitely more needs to be done. I think that the thing that I'm noticing in the callers' remarks are just somehow that the reading, it's a chore. It's not the exciting option, you know, when you give the kids the option of what they'd like to do. I think, and I could speak this against as a mother, and we have lots of kids coming through our house, you know, the opportunity to, you know, when you give them the options of things to do, and reading just doesn't race.
Right.
And you got to wonder, why is that not seen as the fun option?
How about Bill and his wife reading 3 to 5 hours a day? Not bad.
That's something.
Isn't
envious.
It? I know. Yeah. That's great. Thank you, Bill, for your call. Fred in Elmira. Hi. Palmyra, hi.
Hi. Well, I'm 72, and I can't read 3 to 5 hours a day anymore. I fall asleep. But that's besides the point. I drive a school bus, and I don't have a real lot of kids on my bus, but I would say I've got maybe a third of them to maybe a half. And I drive kindergarten through sixth grade. And I have kids on the bus. They always got their nose in the book while I'm driving. And it's mostly stuff that they get out of the library or the, you know, it's kids' books,
right.
Probably Harry Potter and stuff like that. But they are reading.
Yeah.
I see a lot of young kids reading, but I don't know what happens to them after they leave and go to middle school. I have an 18-year-old son who was reading way ahead of his class when he was in grade school. But now he doesn't seem to read all that much, although he claims he reads with, I don't know, it's an iPod or a Kindle or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's way ahead of me technologically, but...
it's all right, Fred.
Yeah, I read as much as I can, you know, so I've always been a reader, and I shift from nonfiction to fiction and back, so... I don't know what else to say, but I'm not too worried about my kids. The ones I see, they're reading.
The young ones are. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. It brought back memories. Didn't you envision yourself on the school bus and you'd been to the library or the school library and you were on the bus and you cracked open that book and saw how many people had taken it out before and there you were reading. Yeah. It just brought back the smell of the book and how exciting it was to have a book. Well, he's saying, too, that the young people are reading.
Well, that's encouraging. And, you know, you do see that. You do see, you know, especially as it relates to, you know, kids taking time to read with their children. I mean, that's one of my most treasured memories of that time before bed or whenever there was a quiet moment to read. But I think that really it gets to how busy and full our days get.
Right.
You know, the demands, the competition in school and outside of school, and there's just so many other demands on our kids' time. So it's, again, that opportunity and that access that could have something to do with it. But there's no denying that the technology revolution of this past decade has really led to a major transition point in what we're reading and how we're reading, for sure. So.
Thank you, Fred, for your call. Rick in Elkhart Lake, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just curious if your guest, Kathleen, has done any studies in other countries. Is this something that happens worldwide, or is it more something just in the United States where there's been this, sounds like, fall off in reading?
That's a great question. We really, for the purposes of this study, these were U.S.-based research studies specifically. We didn't consider any other country. That would be really interesting to know.
All right, well, thank you.
All right, Rick, thanks for the call. Fred in Madison, hi.
Hi. I think your guest and maybe both of you are ignoring not a new technology but a very old technology, automobile internal combustion engine. I would say people spend 2 to 3 hours driving a day, and it means they spend 2 to 3 hours reading, because most reading is reading signs. Traffic signs, street addresses, and then 2 to 3 hours more reading signs in retail. So we read 30, 40, 50 hours a week, but it's mostly signs, either traffic signs or retail signs. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, if we took the bus, we could read a book, right?
That's the truth, yep.
Thank you, Fred, for your call. Jeannie in, where are you from, Jeannie? Brilliant?
I'm from Brilliant, yep.
Brilliant.
We're halfway between Manitowoc and Appleton.
Okay. Go ahead, Jeannie.
I've got 4 boys who are between the ages of 20 and 25. One is in medical school. One just got his degree in engineering. The other is going to school for engineering. The other is going into music. They're all very well-rounded kids. They read a lot and became good readers when they were younger, but then you've expressed concern with this. You know, they hit age 12, and they're not reading as much. Ours didn't read very much. You know, they were very typical, but they started doing things and learning by doing things. So at the time, we lived by Devil's Lake State Park. They would go hiking and learn things that way. They'd go on bike rides. So you're just expanding your horizons. And then they do watch the screens, but it's our youngest one, who actually got a 36 on the ACT without doing a lot of reading, watches things like Mythbusters and Top Gear. He has been redoing an old 1982 Kawasaki motorcycle. He's reading the repair manual. And so I think we worry about it when we don't see them going to the library to check out. But they are using the skills that they have acquired at that earlier age. I think we have to worry if kids don't acquire the skills, because then they can't read those repair manuals. They can't go online to get directions on how to replace this electrical fan, or how do I add a fan on, you know, into the house? How do I make this? How do I fix the toilet or whatever? They need to use those. They need to have the skills, But I don't think we have to worry if they don't keep picking up books when they're older.
What do you say to that, yeah, Krista?
Oh, well, I think that's really interesting. And, you know, we had a long conversation with some interesting researchers who did point out that, you know, we were focusing on reading for pleasure and specifically fiction. And they made the same point that, you know, reading nonfiction is reading, and it has value as well. And so, again, that's where we agreed wholeheartedly that, you know, we really need to look at research that covers the whole gamut of what kids are reading, from fiction, nonfiction, magazines, newspapers, texts, Facebook posts, emails. It's all words. It's all communication. So maybe that's what the research really needs to drill into. Because I agree with the caller that, yeah, there's specifically, you know, my son would, he can take apart his computer and put it back together, and I would say, you know, those are intelligences that are,
yes,
very, you know, right? So, yeah, there's just more research as to the all kinds of reading would be really relevant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish I knew how to fix a toilet. I mean, all those skills, fix a car. I never learned how to do,
yep,
any of that. It'd be great to do. Someone made the case, Krista, that let's not mention a specific show, but you can strengthen the brain significantly and maybe just as much as you do with reading if you watch a very elaborate, very well done television series, an intelligent television series.
Could be. I guess I would argue it should be not an or, but an and. I mean, I guess maybe there's room, again, if we appreciate that we can learn through various media, books, TV, websites, you know, there's room for it all, but it shouldn't, I guess, personally, I think that there's value in having all kinds of experiences, and so maybe one shouldn't replace the other completely, yeah?
Right. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Jeannie, for your call. Brianna is next. Hi, Brianna.
Hi, Brianna. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Brianna. Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that I am a 24-year-old person, and, you know, I grew up, I love reading. I've loved reading ever since I was a child, but I've also grown up with the Internet and when teenagers started having cell phones. And, you know, I just wanted to say that I noticed that I have lost that ability to concentrate on reading and concentrate on what I'm trying to focus on. And, you know, I do agree with that we've been losing that, especially as young people.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, that there's just so many opportunities for distraction.
Right.
Pulling yourself, we call it unplugging, has some value, but it's harder and harder to do.
Mm-hmm. And what are you distracted by? Text messages coming in, email kind of thing, Brianna?
I'm very much distracted by what's going on the Internet. You know, I read news articles, and
right,
I have like a breaking news app on my phone that I
right,
get distracted by a lot.
I am too. I confess to being distracted by all of that on a daily basis, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Ooh, what's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah, it's funny because I'm sure that's all interesting content and knowledge. I completely relate to that. But what do they say, that multitasking isn't really a skill? I don't know. At least one that I haven't mastered.
Thank you, Brianna, very much for your call. We'll take more in a moment. We're talking about reading this hour of the program. Krista Szymanek is our guest, and she is with Common Sense Media. They've just done a report, which is a compilation of a lot of reports, although some need to be done that haven't been done yet, report on reading. And theirs is titled Children, Teens, and Reading. It offers a perspective on children's reading habits in the United States and how they have changed during this technological revolution. It shows, and I guess this is a way to get away from how much you read during school days, because people will read during school days, but during weekends and holidays, reading is way, way down compared to what it was a few decades ago, particularly among adolescents. Should we be concerned about that is the question of the hour. And the second question is, what does reading do for us? We have a couple lines open. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Twitter at K Dunn Show. Krista has talked about her family and encouraging reading. What do you do in your family if you're in the teaching profession? What do you do to encourage your students to read on their own during holiday times, summer vacations, weekend times? More phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to phone calls. Laura in Appleton is on. Hi, Laura.
Hi. You know, I'm the reader who doesn't read anymore, and it's a source of great sadness to me because I love to read, and for all these reasons you've mentioned, you know, we're all so busy with various things. It just seldom happens anymore. And I was thinking about, while I was listening to the show a little earlier in the hour, I thought, what happened to change all that? And I recall when I hit middle school and then again high school, just having so much less time for leisure activity in general, because not only do you have school, but you've got after school activities and this, that, and the other thing, and then it's getting ready for college, and when you're in college, forget it. All that goes out the door. For many years, I was a teacher, and I really could only do sustained reading in the summertime, because if I tried to do a little bit at night, I'd get tired, fall asleep, and I'd forget everything I read anyway. So, and then what I found when I got married, I'm married to someone who's a voracious reader of news. But other than that, he really doesn't read much. And so we kind of fell into this pattern where at night, you know, he's more of a TV watcher. I'm not really that into TV. I would put in earplugs and read a book while he watched TV right next to me. And that worked until our daughter was born. And now, you know, I don't want to wake her up at night, so I don't want both of us back in the bedroom while he's watching TV because I'm just concerned it's going to wake her up. So. And then he gets offended if I choose to go and read rather than stay next to him to watch TV. So, you know, that whole dynamic of living with someone who isn't a big reader, I think, has really impacted my level of reading as well. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions on how to deal with, or if that's something you've heard from other people.
Krista. Yeah. So, you know, our research really focused on kids, you know, 0 to 17. So, not specifically. I can appreciate that, you know, in a family where we have a news hound, and then we also have somebody who disappears in books, and it is like you're living in parallel universes sometimes. I'm afraid I can't offer any advice on that. I know when it relates to my kids, I try to have them actually dabble in what their dad and I are both doing. So, you know, engage them in the conversation about what we've read in the news, and then, you know, get lost in a novel that is just so different from the life that we're living, and, you know, so creative and imaginative and follows a storyline and a thread. And I think that's the part where I notice with my own kids, my daughter, who is the reader and can just get lost in a story, and my son, who is always looking for the information but doesn't really, you know, sort of get emotionally involved in the characters and learn to really, I guess, dig deeper within his own self, and to his creative writing, I feel, is impacted. So, again, that's anecdotal. It's not in this research per se.
Oops. That's okay.
Did we lose you?
No, yeah, she's gone, unfortunately. I wanted to ask her a question, but.
Yeah, it's too bad. So, but I can fully appreciate what that's like. I know, I guess, again, it's just
right.
so many demands on the time.
Well, it's probably going to, I don't know how old their daughter is, but it will be important for both mom and dad to read to their daughter, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's just, that's an important time. You know, you find those opportunities to read to the kids and engage. And I think actually engagement might be the more important thing, the actual what they're reading and how they're reading it. Are they engaged in with what they're reading? Like your previous caller said, the child who's just passionate about nonfiction and uses all of that to study manuals to fix cars and everything else. I mean, maybe engagement is the key, but again, more research would really help to that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Laura, for the call. John in Rhinelander, hello.
Hi. I just want to give you some information about my family was more or less aristocrats and college professors from Heidelberg University in Germany. Well, I wanted to teach my son how to read. That's one thing I wanted to do. And so I gave him a penny a page for every book he read. So it was 100 pages, he's getting a buck. It's like, and we kept track, how to become a millionaire in 3 days.
What do you think about that idea, paying for books read?
Whatever works. I mean, that's great. Boy, I just think of all the nightmare of trying to keep track of how many pages were. That's fabulous.
Thank you, John, very much for your call. Tim in Wisconsin, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Tim.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just calling because I read a lot, and everyone always tells me when they see that I read a lot is that they can never remember what they just read.
Mm.
So they always say they have to go back and read it. I try to explain it to them. It's more like a movie, you know. Just keep reading and you'll remember what happened. But everyone that I talk to, that's what they always tell me. And I'll take it off here.
How do you remember? You can imagine for this job, I do a huge amount of reading, but it's not novels. It's nonfiction for the most part. But you think about all you've read, don't you, in your lifetime, Christy, if you're an avid reader and you say, I wish I could remember at least half of it pretty well. I spent all that time reading it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and then you have those friends and relatives who can just recall every minute detail to make the point. Oh, they sound so smart. And I think the biggest thing for me is the time of day when we're reading. If I'm trying to read at nighttime, forget it. I wake up in the morning and I can't remember what I read. But maybe that gets back to that engagement and that focus and, you know, that dedicated time. So to remove all of the distractions and just lose yourself in the book, maybe that when you're really deeply involved, it stays in there better.
Right. Thank you, Tim, so much for your call. Jim in Eau Claire, hi.
Hi, I'm glad I could put my two pages in on this or make 2 cents, however. You know, growing up, my mother used to give a book to me every year for Christmas. And, you know, to pass the time by was to, before the evening of opening gifts, that's what I'd get in the morning to use to read a book during the day.
Uh-huh.
Which was kind of neat, but I don't remember reading a book even through college. I faked my way through it. Because of public radio and listening to Chapter Day, I don't necessarily do the reading, but I get to hear it. But when they had that Jesse James book on there, I ran out, got the book, sat down, read it from front to cover in a week. And every night, I just was so sucked into a book, I can't ever remember that. The neat thing about it was, though, when I got done, I got nothing done through the week. No dishes were done, no house cleaning was done. And so I feel that when kids are so busy, they're not able to, their summertime comes, they're out playing, they're doing other things than reading books. They're going to baseball games, they're going after school sports. So when you say there's a decline in reading, it's maybe once they reach that 12 years of age, they're so active with so many things to do that there isn't the time to sit down and take an hour to read.
Well, that could be. Yeah. What do you think, Krista? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100% with the caller. And in addition to being so slammed and busy, you know, I really think, too, we have to get back to making reading cool. I know that probably is not the vernacular that a cool teen would use, but when I encourage my kids, it's a birthday party, they've been invited, they've got to take a gift, and I get the book, they're like, oh, that is just not cool. They want to take the Amazon gift card. The iTunes gift card. Well, maybe we need to start a quiet revolution that way. No, books are great gifts.
Thank you, Jim, for the call. I don't know if you're aware of this because you're living in San Francisco, Krista, but this station for a long, 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 long time takes the middle of the day, 12:30, and we have a program titled Chapter a Day, and we have extraordinary readers who read books to us. And I just think, may it always stay on the air. What a wonderful thing to do, and for the network to devote that time, Monday through Friday, Chapter a Day. What a good thing that is, huh?
Isn't that lovely? The other thing that we get out here in San Francisco, we don't get a chapter a day. I love that idea. What we do get out here is Garrison Keillor giving us a morning poetry read. I love that, too.
Oh, that is
my
great.
Commute.
Right, mm-hmm. That's great. All right, let's go to Chris in Milwaukee. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Yeah, I was just calling because I'm a high school teacher, and I use a lot of technology in my classroom. I actually do a lot with the KQED in San Francisco as a do now Twitter activity
yeah.
for high school kids, where high school kids discuss current events using Twitter.
My
students create a Twitter account for school, and we also talk about writing emails and sending emails and writing a proper email. I teach social studies, so this is all kind of extra to my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel like, and also a shout out to Common Sense Media. I've used your lesson plans before, and actually our entire school has used those on a number of occasions for homeroom advisory lesson plans. You know, kids are digital natives, and that's what we're always hearing.
Yeah.
You know, they're digital natives, but it doesn't mean they're digitally literate. And
right.
I think we need to keep that distinction alive and talk to kids about using digital resources when it's appropriate, when it's not, how to manage the distraction, and how I talk to my kids all the time about how I try to manage and mostly fail at the distraction of cell phones. But I think it's a constant conversation, and I think schools are maybe moving in the direction of actually teaching kids how to use and employ these technologies, but I don't think we're going far enough yet.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for your kind words about Common Sense Media. I agree wholeheartedly. That's a big part of our mission, to make sure that our children are, as you say, digitally literate. We call it a digital citizenship. So being an active, ethical, responsible, and smart participant in the digital world. And we actually, I'm proud to say that we have more than 157,000 teachers across the United States using our curriculum now, K through 12, to teach kids exactly what you're giving your kids. And aren't your students lucky to have you so tuned into what it means to be growing up with all this technology? Because teaching them that balance, you know, how to seek out the quality and how to manage the quantity and how to really just make good decisions online so that that today's technology becomes a positive force for good in their lives. Because they really, using today's technology, they can communicate, create, and learn like never before. They could also discover new worlds and maybe new books, and that's our hope. So,
mm-hmm.
So finding that perfect equilibrium, that's what we're all about.
Yeah. Chris, thank you. I'm glad you were listening this hour. You were the perfect caller. Not that everybody else hasn't been. You've all been great, but Chris, thanks. Raj in Medford, hi.
Yes, I'm a retired middle school teacher of 7th and 8th grade kids in English. I retired 10 years ago, but I had about 1,000 books on the shelf, and the easy way to get them to read is just let them read. So I gave them at least 2 to 3 days a week without my interference, choosing any book they wanted off of my shelf or from the library, and they could just read. I even had some magazines in there because some kid might start with a motorcycle magazine and go from there. But I think the point is, if you want kids to read, give them time in school to read. That's very easy, and that's all I wanted to say.
And what was on the shelf? What was on your shelves, Raj?
Oh, everything, even books that have been banned. Of course, the administration usually didn't know about those types of things. You know, you could have Catcher in the Rye on there.
But oh, that was a big one for 7th and 8th graders, yeah.
The most popular books that were in a series, I'd have science fiction, I'd have fantasy, and I'd have the books that really got down to the nitty-gritty of what it meant to be a kid.
Uh-huh.
And the kids just loved it. You turn non-readers into readers if you give them time in school. Now, they'd get in trouble in some other classes because they take their books and they try to read in math class.
Oh.
You know, throw out the book and hold it underneath their desk.
Right.
But I'll tell you, that isn't bad. At least I know they're reading. And
yeah.
I know that they kept reading.
Thank you, Raj, so much. We're out of time. Thank you. I bet you were a great teacher. Krista, thank you so much for being with us. A lot of questions yet to be answered, but it was a good hour, and I thank you so much for the report and for being with us.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity, Kathleen. I've really enjoyed it and meeting your fine folks out there. It was a great opportunity.
They're a good group. Krista Szymanek, Director of Communications and Education for Common Sense Media. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this show.